Hi, my name's Julie Macken and welcome to A More Civil Society. There's an old saying that if nothing changes, well, nothing changes, which may seem like a bit of a weird thing to repeat or even observe when we're in the middle of what is clearly an historic moment, the likes of which have not been seen for over 100 years. Apparently everything is changing, which means, according to that old saying, well, everything is changing. And it kind of is, but it may not continue. We may come out of this pandemic in a very different country. We may come out with either a brand new social contract, a brand new way of working, a brand new way of being together as a community with stronger ties of empathy, clear understandings of our interdependency on each other, and a clear view that, like, my health is dependent on your health, that my well-being depends on your well-being. Or we may come out of this with an aggressive reassertion of the old neoliberal model of small government, low taxes, less regulation, and lower wages. A nation where corporations and business executives get to redraw the industrial landscape, where they get to give themselves massive tax cuts and get rid of life-saving regulation, occupational health and safety protections, all in the name of starting the economy. And we're already seeing this new old world take shape. Last week, the Prime Minister and his corporate pals were spruiking a very familiar agenda for a post-pandemic Australia: company tax cuts, deregulation, and work choice-like industrial reforms. Business interests and their tame mates in politics and the media are all using this pandemic to demand more of the same, except even more extreme of the same. Scott Morrison himself has warned that the economic crisis engendered by the virus lockdown meant that, quote, the policy frameworks that we had prior to the election will need to be reconsidered, and that policy measures that are going to have, those policy measures are going to have to be very pro-growth, that are going to enable businesses to employ people, that will enable businesses to invest and businesses to move forward. So, folks, that is very long hand for a deregulated marketplace, aka poverty wages for the many, and an eradication of the very few remaining protections for both working people and the environment. Because, yep, let's not forget that while we've all been in lockdown, the extractive industries and the timber industries have been going at full tilt, even getting approval to mine under Sydney's water catchment. I mean, seriously, what could possibly go wrong there? On the other side of the debate, we have civil society in the form of unions and churches, NGOs, even some Labor and crossbench politicians, all arguing that this crisis has revealed the poverty at the heart of the neoliberal model. The failure of just-in-time manufacturing, of offshoring our capacity to supply personal protective equipment to our medical staff, offshoring the production of pharmaceuticals and a host of vital commodities, the poverty-inducing level of New Start support, and even our two-tiered system of health has been revealed as nothing less than a huge trough for the private health industry that, when push comes to shove, falls over. Our schools, the levels of interconnectivity there, really reveal poverty by postcode and IT access. Civil society is now talking about the importance of bringing manufacturing back to Australia, of paying realistic levels of wages and New Start and pensions, because these are the things that not only revive the economy. The fact that they have been missing for over a decade is why the economy was already floundering well before the virus struck. You know, they are also the things we need for a simple, decent life. But make no mistake, civil society, the broader community, is absolutely outgunned when it comes to political access and influence. That's why the corporate sector spends so much time and money sponsoring political parties. It means that their agenda not only gets oxygen, but gets acted on. So if we want a different, kinder, more inclusive and safer Australia when we come out of this, we need to be planning for it right now. We cannot afford to forget the experience and lessons we have learned this year through the drought, the bushfires, and now the pandemic. We have made it through in large part because we, the community, worked together to get all of us through. We must not surrender the ground to the tiny and powerful minority groups who have bought our politicians through their political donations. We really must remember who actually had our backs when push came to shove. And I'll give you a hint. It was not the corporate sector.